Welcome to the Unfading Truth Bible Reading Plan. Today we're reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 through 27. Why is it that you're called a Christian? Well, that title is more than just a religious label. You're called a Christian because you share an anointing with our Savior. First John chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? Well, it's whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He has promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. Well, today we're going to look at question and answer 32. We've looked at why Jesus is called the Christ, a word that means anointed. Today we're going to ask the question, why is it that you are called a Christian? Here's the answer. I'm called a Christian because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in His anointing. I am anointed to confess His name, to present myself to Him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. Well, today's summary and Dig Deeper post are written by Pastor Joe Steenholt from Laverne Christian Reformed Church. This past week, we have focused on the significance of Jesus' mediatorial office of prophet, priest, and king. All of that is bound up in His title of being the Christ, the Anointed One. Since those who follow Jesus are called Christians, a word that literally means little Christs, what does that mean to share in that title? Well, today our catechism question applies how the prophet, priest, and king roles translate into the life of a Christian as well. By faith, you are united with Christ and are anointed by the Holy Spirit to live for Him. John brings this anointing up in this passage of his first letter. The first marker is knowing and confessing the truth that Jesus is the Christ. This is the work of the Christian as a prophet, professing the truth of God, which God's Word and Spirit testify to us. Those who deny Jesus as the Christ are the deceivers. This past week, we have heard from many places in the Bible that Jesus fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah. He is the true prophet, priest, and king. Yet these claims faced opposition through false teachers who tried to lead these young Christians astray that John's addressing here. So John directs him to abide in the truth of God's Word that they have been taught from the very beginning. And this means that you need to meditate. That means to think deeply about Jesus and the promise of eternal life. Let's dig a little bit deeper. It can be easy to forget what it means to be a Christian in today's world. We face different opponents and false teachers that John's audience, different ones than what John's audience did in the first century. But yet John's advice here is still sound. His language in this passage echoes the promise of the new covenant described in Jeremiah 31, especially verses 33 through 34. Here's how Jeremiah put it. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So make sure that you personally know God and His grace. Christ delivered on the new covenant promises, and He shared its blessings by sending us the Holy Spirit. So that in claiming the name as Christian, or the name of Christian, as prophets, we can boldly confess Jesus as the Christ by proclaiming the truth of His word. And as a priesthood of believers, we can live as the sacrifices of thanksgiving because of Christ's once and for all sacrifice on the cross. And as royalty belonging to God's kingdom, we strive in this world against sin and the devil, while looking forward to reigning with our Lord for eternity. As you pray today, acknowledge who God is. Begin your prayer by opening it up and acknowledging the Holy One who is righteousness and truth. That's who your Father is. And then align your life with God's will. Do so by praying that you will abide in Jesus and what He teaches you through His word. Paul reminds us of that well in his letter to Timothy, where he writes, "Fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience." Do you see how it's good to pray God's word back to Him so that He will give you what it takes to do that? Then you can ask God for what you need today. Remember, everything else you're going to hear is going to fade away, but the word of the Lord is unfading truth.